This morning, before we go to communion, we're looking at 1 John. And book of 1 John, written by many scholars, by the Apostle John, who wrote the book of John. So if you look through the book of John and you look through 1 John, you'll notice a lot of similarities, a lot of the same verbiage, a lot of the same sentence structure. So that's why we believe that 1 John was written by John. You'll also notice that when you read 1 John, that it's kind of circular in how the author goes about saying things. He comes back and he revisits same themes again and again and again. It's very unlike the Apostle Paul in the books that he wrote, where, you know, here's a point, here's a principle, illustration, and he just works through. But you notice in 1 John, he comes back to themes once again. One of the biggest themes that you find in 1 John is fellowship with God. Another one is love. Another one is confession of sin. Another one is provision for sin. So when we go through 1 John and you see all these themes come back and forth, in and out, and it may seem kind of repetitive at times, but there is a whole purpose to John. And John's purpose is that we would know the fellowship of God. And if we know the fellowship of God, we will know the love of God. And if we know the love of God, we'll be able to have fellowship with our fellow brothers and sisters, because we know what love is. It's a whole thing about John. So I've titled this Gnostic Love this morning. May seem like an unusual title, because we talked a little bit about Gnosticism last week, or what a Gnostic is. But I've titled it Gnostic Love. And let's look at 1 John 1:5. Let's start at 1:5. And we'll go all the way down through to 2:29. I've skipped some verses on the slides, so don't worry about that. That's been intentional. But we'll read as each slide goes through. 1 John 1:5. Now this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and there's absolutely no darkness in him. Who did they hear from? From Jesus. If we say we have fellowship with him, yet we walk in darkness, we are lying and are not practicing the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 2, beginning at verse 3. This is how we are sure that we have come to know him, by keeping his commands. The one who says, I have come to know him, yet doesn't keep his commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly in him the love of God is perfected. This is how we know we are in him. The one who says he remains in him should walk just as he walked. Dear friends, I am not writing to you a new commandment, but an old command that you have had from the beginning. The old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The one who says he is in the light but hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother remains in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness, walks in the darkness, and doesn't know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven because of Jesus' name. 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or the things that belong to the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. For everything that belongs to the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride in one's lifestyle is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world with its lust is passing away, but the one who does God's will remains forever. Children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard, Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come. We know from this that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. However, they went out so that it might be made clear that none of them belongs to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you have knowledge. I have not written to you because you don't know the truth, but because you do know it. And because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar, if not the one who denies that Jesus is the Messiah? This one is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son can have the Father. He who confesses the Son has the Father as well. What you have heard from the beginning must remain in you. If what you heard from the beginning remains in you, then you will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He Himself made to us, eternal life. I have written these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. The anointing you receive from Him remains in you, and you don't need anyone to teach you. Instead, His anointing teaches you all about all things and is true and is not a lie, just as He has taught you, remain in Him. So now, little children, remain in Him, so that when He appears, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know this as well. Everyone who does what is right has been born of Him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His word this morning. So what is the situation? What's going on? We have a bunch of verbiage talking about Antichrist, talking about people that don't have the truth in them, that they're liars. We have people that are not acknowledging Jesus as the Son. And we have John pointing back and pushing back and going, if you don't acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God, then you don't know the Father. Well, what we have is a group of individuals called Gnostics, Gnosticism. Teachers and preachers that have moved into the community and have been spreading this myth and these lies. That Jesus is not the Messiah. He is not the Son of God. And so John is writing to his community not to correct these teachers, because the teachers have left. They've left the community. John acknowledges and says, those who love God and know God love their brothers and sisters. Something has happened, and they've left. Has there been a disagreement? Has there been anger? Has there been a fight? Possibly. But he calls these false teachers liars and antichrists. He says they do not love the brothers or the sisters in the Lord. Gnosticism tends to claim a secret knowledge. A secret knowledge that came from any of the additional disciples, one of the 12. Maybe you've heard about the book of Judas, or the book of Mary. Some of those books are known as the Gnostic Gospels, or the Gnostic books. There were Gnostics that were Christians, there were Gnostics that weren't Christians. A lot of Gnostics wrote about the Trinity, they wrote about Christ. And it was right. But then they add their own flavor to it. And so we have books in the Bible that aren't included in the canon. Haven't been included in the canon because they're Gnostic. They've been written as Gnostic Gospels because they don't sound like Jesus. They don't fit the same book, the same mold as the rest of these 66 letters that we have in the Bible. The biggest thing about what John talks about is that these individuals claim to have fellowship with God, but yet they deny Jesus as the Messiah. You cannot have fellowship in a church with brothers and sisters if you deny that Jesus is the Messiah. It's not possible. He says those that claim fellowship with God and they say that they're walking in the light. Gnosticism has this secret understanding, secret teachings about the kingdom of light. Gnosticism talks about we're trapped in our bodies and that anything bodily, materially, is evil and not good. So how would a God who is great and good come to inhabit a human form? Not possible. So Gnosticism talks about dualism. Dualism is that God, some way, some form, he took the form of Jesus at some point. And then at some point before Jesus died on the cross, Jesus' spirit was taken away. But Gnosticism speaks of a dualism, and it's impossible for that who is divine to inhabit a body that is evil. That's Gnosticism. So we have these teachers that claim fellowship with God, but yet they walk in the ways of darkness, John says. Question for us is this: have I grown comfortable with sin, following its ways instead of God's ordered ways and commands? Gnostics rejected traditional orthodoxy. They rejected Christ. They rejected traditional orthodoxy. They were rebellious towards the church. If they were to be here, they would reject the teachings that I would be preaching to you this morning. That Jesus is the Messiah. That the church stands for Christ and is the body of Christ. And that when you and I die, if we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we will go to be with him in heaven. We will be saved. They would say that's not possible. They would believe that they are the only ones who are enlightened because they received secret knowledge. Funny thing is, they talk about a kingdom of light, and that the whole purpose and goal of this secret knowledge is to release us from our mortal bodies so that we can join the kingdom of light. One kingdom, many sparks. Is confession of sin an active practice in my walk with Christ? Or do I let things slide? Believing dualism is a trait that Jesus embraces and lives out. Do I walk in the light as Jesus is in the light? The Apostle John points to these questions as he protects his flock from false teachers who have rejected their community, rejected them as brothers and sisters, and rejected that Jesus is the Messiah, and have instead, as I said, promoted a secret knowledge of light given to them as knowers of God about the kingdom of light. These knowers of secret knowledge, Gnostics, claim to know God, have fellowship with God, but they reject Christ as the Son because no divine entity can dwell in an earthly materialism, especially a body formed and mixed with evil. To dwell in body is to be imprisoned with evil. The secret knowledge of apparent further hidden apostolic teaching unlocks the person from one's human imprisonment to become one with the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God. So the question is, who is a Gnostic today? I didn't say agnostic. I said, who is a Gnostic today? Anyone who rejects the King's light personified on earth in the person of the divine Christ, the Holy Spark. Do I accept and believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God? The prophet Isaiah pointed to Christ as the divine personification of God to come to earth, the true light who gives light to true reality. Isaiah 60, 16. Pardon me. That's right. You will nurse on the milk of nations and nurse at the breast of kings. You will know that I, Yahweh, am your Savior and Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Isaiah 60, 19. The sun will no longer be your light by day, and the brightness of the moon will not shine on you, but the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your splendor. Isaiah 60, 20. Your sun will no longer set, and your moon will not fade, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and the days of your sorrow will be over. Jesus is the light of God personified on the earth. Come to earth. The Gnostic who teaches and preaches a secret knowledge and salvation other than Christ is, according to the Apostle John, a liar and the Antichrist, or an Antichrist. He or she does not know God, does not walk with God, does not know love, and does not walk in the fellowship of believers, because who can walk in the fellowship of believers who does not love? Because to know love is to know Christ and to know God. That's how it works. 1 John 2, 22-23, who is the liar, if not the one who denies that Jesus is the Messiah? This one is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son can have the Father. He who confesses the Son has the Father as well. 1 John 2:26. I have written these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. John is being very pointed. This is a very serious issue. This is how churches go down the wrong road. This is how a body of believers comes to be divided amongst one another. Is that a prime issue of orthodoxy is denied. And we get into a fight over primary things when we're supposed to have unity in primary things. And what? Liberality in the secondary issues. This is a primary issue. It's attack on God himself. Jesus is not the Messiah. So John writes to the believers and says, remember what you heard from the first. What we heard from Jesus himself, we have shared with you. Believe what you've heard from us. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the personification of God, his light on earth. Gnostics do not believe in Jesus as the Son of God. Not do they love one another as he has commanded and modeled. They don't love one another as that way. Gnostics come with secret knowledge, believe they are of better stock than the unenlightened, and love not their so-called brothers and sisters. 1 John 3:23, now this is his command, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he commanded us. So he's caused quite a stir, these teachers. They've caused division amongst the believers. So much so that there's disputes. There's arguments. Brothers are not loving brothers, and sisters are not loving sisters. What do you do in that situation? How do you rectify that? How do you address that? John does what he's supposed to do. He's an apostle. He's a follower of Christ. This community are his disciples. They're his children. And so he addresses them. He encourages them. He says, hey, These guys are causing division between the two of you. Do you think they really are children of God? They cause division. They cause disruption. They fight amongst you and cause you to fight amongst each other. A church cannot be effective if there's disunity amongst its brothers and sisters. All believers walk in the light of Christ. The Apostle John encourages us, God is light and there is absolutely no darkness in him. Amen? The body is not evil after all. The body was modeled after God's, in his image to house God, the Holy Spirit in his temple. You and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen? 1 Corinthians 6, 19-20. Don't you know that your body is a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Our bodies have come underneath the curse of sin and death, but that has not changed their origin or your origin. How can God reside in that which is evil? What partnership can God have with evil? The Apostle Paul says none. Do not be mismatched with unbelievers. For what partnership is there between righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship does light have with darkness? What agreement does Christ have with Belial? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? And what agreement does God's sanctuary have with idols? For we are the sanctuary of the living God. As God said, I will dwell among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. We are not to call evil what God has made. For everything God created is good and is not to be rejected because it is holy through God's word and prayer. 1 Timothy 4, 4-5. For everything created by God is good, and nothing should be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, since it is sanctified by the word of God and by prayer. So John succinctly nails down a false teaching of the Gnostics to say that the body is evil, that the body is wrong, is false. Because we're made after God's image. We're made in God's image, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. But when we fell in the garden, our body, our person, our emotions, our spirituality all fall under the curse of sin and death. There is no secret knowledge. There is no other way hidden by which man can come to God and his kingdom. He who abides in Christ abides in the Father. He who knows the Son knows the Father. He who loves the Son loves the Father. There is no other way. Jesus came into the world born of a woman by the power of the Holy Spirit, dying as a man, sinless, but bearing our sin, and rose from the dead so that men and women may be able to walk in his light and have fellowship with the King in his kingdom. To believe anything else is to be walking in darkness, to believe a lie, and to not be walking nor practicing the truth. This is John's point. What is walking? Anybody? We do it every day. But what is walking? Can you define it?
A form of exercise.
Or a mode of getting where you need to go. But in the Jewish metaphor, walking is a Jewish metaphor referring to the way or how one lives. To walk in darkness is to live one's life according to sin. John 3:19-21. This then is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who practices wicked things hates the light and avoids it, so that his deeds may not be exposed. But anyone who lives by the truth comes to the light so that his works may be shown to be accomplished by God. To claim fellowship with God while walking in darkness is to claim and believe in a dualism of that which is good and evil can exist together. Can good and evil exist together? Jesus says no. John says no. It's not possible. What we are doing is living a lie and calling God a liar. Better yet, we walk in allegiance with the devil. That's what sin is, walking in allegiance with the devil. Sin is open rebellion against God, his commands, his order, and his ways. It is declaring allegiance with the devil in rebellion toward God and his ways. And we wonder why God hates sin. Because sin is aligning ourselves with the devil in open rebellion. Have I aligned myself with the devil? We may be worried about that. It's like, well, I do sin, I'm not perfect. And John says, believers are not perfect. Believers will sin. So how do we deal with this somewhat dualism that we see with John? The difference is what? Well, John says we, believers and followers of Christ, we sin. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But the difference is this, living according to sin, walking in darkness. How many of us would say we live our lives walking in sin, according to sin? If you're a believer and you've been a believer for any length of time and a follower of Christ, you would have to decline that. Say, I don't actively follow and live my life according to sin. But some people do. They come to church on Sundays, spend a couple of hours and feel good, but the rest of the time we live like the devil. That's living according to sin. But Christians fall, do we not? Do we not fail? How many of us have failed in this last week? Sorry, I'm preaching. Anybody else want to preach instead? But we're going to fail. And John says, you're going to fail. But the fact is that Jesus died for our sin. And that it's not a habitual thing. It's not a thing that we constantly do. That we're looking as we go out the door is, I'm now going to live like the devil the rest of the week. I've had my time of religion. I've carved out my couple of hours of religious time, and now the rest is mine. Is that how we're living? Is that our Christian walk? That's walking in darkness. But Jesus says, walk in the light as what? As he is in the light. If we proclaim love for Christ and live like the devil, I have no fellowship with Christ nor with believers and followers of Christ. But if I commit sin while living after Christ, I've merely fallen. And I need to be pick myself up, repent, confess, and receive the forgiveness Christ has made possible through the cross. That's the difference. Am I living according to sin or merely stumbling in my walk with Christ? I think I would say most of us are merely stumbling in our walk with Christ. But the important thing is, are we pursuing after Christ? If I'm not pursuing after Christ, I'm walking the wrong way. I'm walking in darkness. The Apostle Paul states, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. The Apostle John encourages us to confess our sins to Christ and be forgiven and cleansed from our unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9 to 10. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we don't have any sin, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. These are strong words from John. You thought when Jesus said, you know, you Pharisees and Sadducees, you're whitewashed tombs. You're clean and nice on the outside, but on the inside, you're dank and dark. John has just used more words to say the same thing. The snag we run into today is that our world has become very comfortable with sin. Has our world become comfortable with sin?
Yes.
Have we become comfortable with sin? Are we willing to admit that? The world does what it wants and desires. Good is called evil, and evil is called good. Everyone does as they see fit and please, just as in the days of Noah and the flood. Do you remember that story? Jesus said those days would return before his returning. Matthew 24:37, as the days of Noah were, so the coming of the Son of Man will be. So we should not be surprised. But the question is, have we become comfortable with sin? Do we keep our temperature? When we stumble, how quickly do we get up and repent and confess and seek God's forgiveness? Or do we hold on to it for a while? Do we let it burn within our soul and grow a root of bitterness and start walking the way of darkness? Do we confess our sin to one another or to God? Do we do that? Is that something that we actively do? Or are we perfect?
Or
dare I say, or to use the word shiny. You know what the word shiny describes? That's a word that non-Christians, pre-believers use of Christians. My friend used it of us before she got to know me, before she became a believer and follower of Christ. She said, I used to think you and Lynette were shiny. She goes, I realized that that was not true. That's the biggest compliment that we could have received. Because we don't have it all together. I don't have it all together. Some weeks I struggle with where's the Lord taking me? What are you saying? I need to hear him clear. Sometimes because of the things that I do, things that I'm engaged in. Things that are supposed to be primary become secondary. And so I need to rearrange those and get back to what is primary, what's secondary. Man, I even fall down in sin. We all do. But it matters how we get up. Do we seek his forgiveness? Do we seek healing? The Apostle James says it in James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The urgent request of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. You ever known a very righteous person that prays? And I don't mean that in a negative sense, in the right sense. Somebody that prays and wow, their prayers get answered. What's our temperature with God? How close are we walking to with him in the light? Do we desire fellowship with God, fellowship with our brothers and sisters? That's the one true measure of a church's spiritual temperature. Of how closely we're walking with God is how closely, how fast do we confess and ask for forgiveness from our brother and sister? And can we do that? Are we able to do that? Will we do that? Unity within the body of Christ. We are to confess our wrongdoings to one another so that we might be made whole. So our fellowship, our community would be whole. This is the way and love of Christ. Jesus' sacrifice turned away the wrath of God upon us, the sinners, so that we might have fellowship with the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit amongst the fellowship of believers. The Gnostic does not embrace this truth, nor accept this truth, because he or she does not know God nor love God because he or she does not know Christ. Denial of sin and living a life of sin leads to darkness. Confession of sin leads to light in the ways of light. We read Psalm 51 just before. Psalm 51 is a psalm of who? Do you know? Bible trivia. Psalm 51 is the psalm of David. What was the situation with David? He wanted Bathsheba. And he took Bathsheba. And he had relations with Bathsheba. He had an affair with Bathsheba, and he tried to cover up, and his cover up ended up killing Bathsheba's husband. Pretty drastic. That is what soap operas are written on. Psalm 51, David looks to his God and seeks forgiveness, asks forgiveness. He repents and throws himself and confesses that you are Lord, you are right, you know the right ways. I have failed. I have done wrong. I need forgiveness. Psalm 51 can be our psalm. What we write to God. We can feel the same way that David feels. If we don't feel the same way that David feels about a sin or a great sin in our estimation, then we have to wonder where our relationship is with God. Are we walking in the ways of darkness or walking in the ways of light? So we're going to come to communion this morning. And I intentionally have communion come after the sermon this morning for what? Confession. Maybe you got something in your heart that's been sitting there. And you know you need to change. You need to confess. You need to get right with God. This is the time to do it before God. Before we celebrate communion. Because communion represents what? Unity with God. When I have sin in my heart, it represents an allegiance with the devil. No one that has sin in their heart should come before the communion table of Christ and sully it and make a mockery of it. Because Jesus died on the cross for our sins so that we may have forgiveness from sin and walk in life. So I'm simply going to lead us in a corporate confession. You can say it after me, and then we'll get to a point where I will simply pray a prayer of blessing over top of you. But repeat after me if it's so your desire to enter confession with God this morning. Merciful God. Better yet, let's stand. Merciful God, our Maker and our Judge, we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We repent and are sorry for all our sins. Father, forgive us. Strengthen us to love and obey you in newness of life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. Receive a blessing. Almighty God, who has promised forgiveness of sins to all who turn to him in faith, pardon you and set up free from all your sins. Strengthen you to do his will and keep you in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.